Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of The Game. I'm Russ Cohen, and I'm waiting on Nico Riesgo and Lisa Marie Latino. We're going to talk about the trade deadline. I figure we might as well start talking about Carlos Beltran. Went to the Giants yesterday, didn't have a great game, 0 for 3 or 4, lost track, but he looked a little out of sorts, looked a little different in a Giants uniform. That's something that Met fans are going to have a hard time adjusting with. Thought the Mets got, you know, decent value. The only reason I don't think they got great value is because it would have been nice if they could have gotten somebody that they could have used for this year. I'm going to now welcome on Nico. Nico, how are you? Nico.
Yes. What's up, Russ?
Hey, well, we're just talking about the Carlos Beltran trade, and I was saying I thought the Mets could have gotten a little more value. What did you think?
Mitch, can you believe it or not, the World Series champs just got better. That's what I think. It's unbelievable. What a great acquisition for the Giants. I think they got probably the better end of the stick right there. The Mets obviously had to make a move with salary, I guess. I think it has everything to do with salary budget, trying to keep Reyes.
It does.
Yeah, I just think it was probably not the smartest move on the Mets. Now, I don't think that young pitcher is going to be ready for a few years. We don't know what it's going to turn out. So we know what we're losing in Beltran, an all-star,
yep.
One of the
yep.
greatest switch hitters in baseball today. He's completely healthy. We've wasted, two or three years trying to get him healthy.
A couple of years.
I agree with that trade. Yeah, I think the Mets got the short end on this stick.
It's a tough one. We have Lisa Marie Latino on the phone now. Lisa, what did you think of the Beltran trade?
Well, aren't the Mets always on the short end of the stick?
Not always.
Aren't they always a day late and a dollar short and whatever the cliches are?
Not always. But I just, when you get a pitcher that will be ready, let's say in 2013, we understand Beltran didn't have a great contract, and he makes a lot of money, and he's free agent next year, and he couldn't approve a trade before 24 hours. All those things you could blame on Omar Minaya, but still, I still felt like they could have gotten more value because now you lose a guy out of your lineup, and you're sort of fortifying your farm system, but the guy's not going to be ready for two more years. What do you think about that?
It is short-sighted on the Mets end, you know, but I agree with what Nico had said. They're just trying to clear up room to sign Reyes, which obviously is the priority and is more important to the team and to the team's future. But and also to Beltran, I mean, was he that huge for you guys?
He was. I wrote about it last week. If you go and look at the numbers, he's one of the best outfielders the Mets have ever had. He really, other than a season and a half where he was hurt, and yes, we all know about the called-looking strikeout, he was very good. He really was. He was productive. He had 100 RBIs almost every year. He would be good for 30 homers almost every year. He was as good a fielder as you'd see out there with a really good arm. Yeah, he did get old, and his knees are a little crankier, but this year he was doing great too. So I think he produced. I do.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I still think it was short-sighted. I was just trying to look at it from the Mets fan perspective because I did hear a lot of bitching about Beltran. But, I agree with Nico that the world champs definitely got better. And watch out, Philadelphia.
Yeah, and that's a big deal because you don't want to make too much out of the regular season, Nico. But Lisa has a real good point. This year, the Phillies have only scored 5 runs against Matt Cain and Tim Lincecum, and that was their kryptonite last year. You have to believe if the Phillies match up against the Giants, they don't want that matchup.
They don't. The good thing is they've got Cliff Lee this year. I think that's going to be the difference there. They got Doc Holliday to go against Tim Lincecum, and they got Cliff Lee against Matt Cain, and it's going to be a low-scoring shootout. But that's, hey, That's the name of the game. That's what it's all about.
Now, Nico, when you played and you would see phenoms and other guys come through, I can't call Zach Wheeler the guy the Mets got a phenom because he's 21. He was drafted out of high school. He's got really good strikeout numbers. He's not necessarily dominating yet. When you're looking at a pitcher who's 21, who maybe will see the majors when he's 23, is it fair to say that we shouldn't look for more than like a number three starter out of this guy?
No. I think what we need to do is this guy comes September needs to be in the big leagues now. I mean, we traded away one of our, like I said, one of our future, our all-star players, one of our guys that we play every day that we can depend on. We need to see some return right away. And I think if he can get called up in September and prove himself and show what he's got, I think now's the time.
Well, they're saying next year September call-up, so it's not even a this year September call-up.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I need now. I think the Mets need now. I mean, this whole attitude of wait until next year. Hey, dude, we can wait until next year when the season's over.
That's an interesting point. I like that point. One of the other deals that's potentially going around is Hunter Pence. If you listen to all the different rumors, he could be going to the Phillies, he could be going to the Braves, he could be going to even the Indians. But let's talk about the one that the Indians did complete, and they got Fukudome. That's a pretty bold move by the Indians because they took on some salary, and they got a guy who's very versed at the game. He's not a superstar in any category, but he does everything well. That's a big pickup for them.
It's awesome. I mean, when you look at his on-base percentage, That's a sign of greatness right there. This guy gets on base, and
he does.
When you're making a run at the end of the year for the pennant, hey, this is the kind of guy at the tread down line. He's underneath the radar. He doesn't have a lot of hype. He just does his job every single day. And I think the Indians have built their team around players that just play hard and play this game the right way.
And that's a good thing for the Indians, and we'll see. They're certainly in the race, and now they're going to try and maybe get even more in the race. So that's an interesting thing. Now, the Hunter Pence sweepstakes, what's interesting, Lisa, is you don't really hear the Yankees in anybody's sweepstakes. Does that bother you?
Yes, because I don't know what's going on over there. Is there a disconnect? I mean, there's obvious needs that we need, and I don't understand why, of all the teams, them are not in the mix.
Now, they could be, and they could be doing it quietly, but I don't hear them. I did look at the top 50 prospects recently, and the Yankees have one, which isn't a lot for them. So they're pretty much farmed out, and that would be the only kid they might be able to get something really good on the everyday roster. So maybe they just don't have any moves to make.
How, though? I mean, we need pitching. We are old in a lot of areas. I don't understand how that is the rationale.
Well, if you don't have the prospects, you can't make the trades. That's the issue. Now, that doesn't mean they won't get guys on waivers. I think if you don't see anything happen now, I think you'll see the Yankees get guys on waivers because then that's just straight salary dumps, and I'm sure they'll pick up somebody out of that mix, I would think. What do you think?
No, I agree. I agree with you. They got to get somebody. They need help.
They need help.
The Red Sox, yeah, the Red Sox have proven themselves to just be a powerhouse. I mean, David Ortiz, Big Poppy is Big Poppy once again. They've got Adrian Gonzalez going crazy. They got Carl Crawford getting on base. Jacoby Ellsbury's having one of his greatest years ever. Dustin Pedroia's on a 25-game hitting streak. Come on, man. Everybody's hot. They're running on fillers. Beckett's having his best year in 3 years. How are you going to stop the Boston Red Sox?
I don't know. It's a good question. It's a very good question. They're going to be tough, although the Red Sox pitching is not exactly what you want. John Lackey, I don't know, Nico, that wasn't the greatest signing for them. John Lackey has not paid real dividends.
No. One of the worst signings. I mean, when you're looking at making an immediate impact, the guy needs to get on a treadmill. He needs to run, kind of work out probably with that. Who's the guy for the closer for the Giants?
Wilson.
Yeah, Wilson, just a maniac. Get up there in those stadiums and start running some bleachers, man. Get some passion and, start throwing some strikes.
Yeah, he has a nice big contract, And let's see, I'm going to read you off John Lackey's numbers, and Lisa's going to smile when I do it, although I could read off A.J. Burnett's numbers, and Lisa would be
very
sad.
And I'll cry in the same
You'll cry in the same sentence. Lackey is 9-8 with a 6.2. Boy, that's just horrific. And last year he was 14-11 with a 4.44. So far they've gotten one good season out of him, and we don't know how this one's going to end up, but it's not going great. I had a feeling, too, because – Nico, they list him at 245.
Yeah, he's way too big, way too big. When you look at him, he needs to do some serious running, his endurance. He's out of shape, and he's getting old, and that's just going to catch up to you.
That's an issue, but I don't want to overly pick on the guy's weight. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention the passing of Hideki Arabu. And Lisa, as a Yankee, but as a Yankee fan, like, I thought the guy was a pretty good pitcher, and I thought maybe at the time Steinbrenner picked on him a little bit. Now, he wasn't great. We know that. He was paid very well. But in the end, you know, you have to kind of wonder if that played with his psyche because of, you know, his culture and where he was from. And I don't know what contributed to the potential suicide that they're talking about, but I just think the whole story is kind of sad.
Well, I mean, he came with much fanfare. They were calling him the next coming of Nolan Ryan, and that's huge billing for anybody.
It is.
We've seen with the transition of so many players that have come from over there, Ichiro, Hideki Matsui, you know, the list goes on, that they've been able to make a seamless transition into the American big leagues. Hideki Arabu, for whatever reason, couldn't do that. And if this is a suicide, like they're saying, I think his issues are more deep-rooted than, oh, my God, I didn't really pitch as well as I thought I would for the New York Yankees. I think it's probably a lifelong issue that he was dealing with.
Probably so. Although I looked at his numbers, Nico, and I think he was a couple games over 500. So I don't think he had a bad career. And I know people will actually remember him as an Expo because – he did pitch for them, too. So what's your thoughts about Arabu?
You know, when I read the news today, definitely it hit me. I feel sorry for his family and, his legacy in baseball. Just a tragedy, and it reminds me of the Angels pitcher. I can't remember his name right now. Was it Donnie Moore?
Yeah.
Donnie Moore, yeah, where he ended up losing the game for the Angels against the Red Sox, and he was just so down and so depressed and ended up taking his life. And it is a tragedy, and you feel bad for these guys. And one of the things I remember after my career ended that I was feeling in the downs, and I was spiraling downwards, and there was the times that obviously the thoughts went through my head that I wanted to get a shotgun and kind of blow my brains out and just to get it. But you know, when you realize how great life is and you realize that there's other things other than baseball to enjoy in this world, and you develop a passion to help others, and you kind of change your mind from thinking about yourself and your misery to how you can help others and enlighten others, you have a total shift, and it's a mind shift where now you can take that misery and you can turn it into a positive energy, and you can help others, and that's what helped me transition in my life, and that's kind of like what the MLP is all about, to help Major League ballplayers transition after their career. What are they going to do if they had a challenging career? Hey, here's an opportunity to join the MLPO and help some kids and get a passion for life and keep that excitement, that Major League. I don't care if you're struck out 5,000 times. You're a Major League player, man. You're one of the best players. I don't care if your ERA in your career was 8.10 or you lost 200 games, you only won 30 or something. You're a Major League player, man. That means something. You're a hero to many kids out there. Just keep that passion. Don't think about your misery in your life. Think about helping others, and you'll find an easy way to transition and enjoy life and hopefully live forever.
Well, and that's a really nice thought. And actually, he was one game under 500, but I still think he had a decent career. We'll move on. Lisa, I'm going to go back to the Yankees for a minute. And while I am looking over some numbers, I think it is sort of interesting how you had mentioned last week that Alex Rodriguez sort of goes under the radar. And right now, you know, 13 homers, 52 RBIs, hitting .295. He is sort of underachieving, isn't he?
Without a doubt. No question. Is it age? Is it because he's not on dope anymore? Is it a combination of the factors? But, yeah, he definitely – we were saying last week that he's not such a shoo-in anymore to break Hank Aaron's all-time home runs record. Now is he?
Mm-mm. No, now
Barry Bonds has that record now.
I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, well,
Barry Bonds.
I guess the asterisk blinded my thoughts for a second. But yeah,
but yeah, I know
the Barry Bonds record. Sorry.
and that's fair enough too, because again, we don't know what's going to happen. And just for those people out there that weren't sure of what AJ Burnett's numbers are, he's 8-8 with a 4.21. So actually, he's slightly better than John Lackey. Yeah, but he's slightly better than John Lackey. I still don't know how Freddie Garcia has 9 wins, considering when he was pitching a couple of years ago for the Mets, it looked like he was totally finished. So, but the Yankee pitching staff, they have one guy with 15 wins, and then nobody else even has double digits yet. That has to be a worry going into the playoffs, Lisa.
Oh, absolutely it is. You know, the A-Rod's not a shoo-in for anything. The Yankees certainly aren't.
No. And,
not right now.
But Sabathia, make no mistake about it, I know Phillies fans are going to get mad saying that Roy Halladay is the best pitcher in baseball. CC Sabathia is 15-5. He's got 156 strikeouts and 168 innings with a 2.5 ERA. I think right now he is the best pitcher in baseball.
Oh, he's
what
a
do
monster.
You think, Nico?
He's a monster. Thank God we have him.
Otherwise,
forget about it.
I got to go with my local hometown boy, Verlander. I mean, Verlander has just been throwing up numbers that have been mind-boggling this year. So anything that you just rattled off for CeCe, I think Verlander, if you look at his numbers, he's got a good fight for that Cy Young this year.
Well, let's see. Let me look up Justin Verlander while we're talking about him. And, Nico, your Tigers might go after Eric Bedard. I don't know why, because that's a guy who's been injured over and over and over again, but he is going to get trotted out there. And I hear that the Tigers might be interested. Justin Verlander this year... Right now, I'm scrolling as I'm talking. It's terrible. All right. He is pitched 14-5 with a 2.34. So he's right in the race, but I think CeCe's got him by a little bit, but not a lot. I think he's right there. He's got 169 strikeouts. So you're right. He's got great numbers, and Halliday's 12-4 with a 2.5. Certainly seems like the leader in the National League. What do you think about Eric Bedard, Nico? Would you cringe if the Tigers got him?
No, I'd love for the Tigers to get him. The Tigers need somebody. I mean, they need someone with his experience. Hopefully he's still got what he's always had. He can come here healthy and produce some wins. That's exactly what we need.
You need wins. Let's look at the standings, and we'll just see how sort of things are tightening up here. And I still will go on record as saying the Phillies aren't going to win 100 games, and people could argue with me and they could say what they want, but you'll see at the end of the season they are not going to have 100 wins. The Red Sox actually 64 wins. They're 2.5 up on the Yankees. Detroit's in first. They're 1.5 up on Cleveland. Texas is 2 up on the Angels. We go to the National League East. The Phillies are 5 up on Atlanta, so they've got a little bit of a lead there. The Mets are somehow in third, but they're really out of it. Milwaukee is 1.5 up on Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's lost a little steam there. They need to make a move, Nico. And the Giants are 4 games up on Arizona now that they've got Beltran. Like I said preseason, guys, my opinion hasn't changed. I still think the Giants are the team to beat. Lisa, if you have to look around, and we don't know exactly what's going to happen after today with some of the trade deadline stuff, but who do you think the team to beat is? Are you still hoping for your team, or do you think it's somebody else?
In the American League?
In the American League.
Texas, Boston.
Okay, so you, either one of them you worry about the Yankees matching up with.
Yes.
And that's if the Yankees make the playoffs. But
we're
pretty sure they will. But right now, things are tightening up to the point where if they don't get closer to Boston and they are going to do it as a wild card, then... They're 5 games up right now above the Angels for the wild card, so that's a pretty safe that's a pretty safe place to be. So I think you're okay there. And then in the National League, as far as the wild card, Atlanta's the leader, Arizona 3.5. Nico, what do you think about Arizona? I know you didn't think that they would drop out. I thought that they would. They may be losing some steam now. What do you think about them?
I love them. I think they're going to be right there in the wild card round. I don't think they're going to be able to pull past the Giants. I think they can play right there with the Atlanta Braves, the St. Louis Cardinals, the Milwaukee Brewers, the Pirates. I think there's going to be a nice battle there for that wild card, and I think they're right in it there. I really do. I like what they put together. I love their manager, Kirk Gibson. I love the fire in his heart. Their team is starting to play it with a reflection of their manager. They've got some great pitchers. They've got some great young players. Upton has really come out of his little share, and he's starting to contribute big time and starting to earn some of his big money that they gave him. I think they're sitting four games. They're sitting right there. I think if they could play as hard as they had the first half, they definitely got a chance for the wild card.
And the big question for Lisa, because, Nico, I know you want to know this. Lisa, did you get an invite to Kim Kardashian's wedding?
No. Why would I get the invite to her wedding?
I don't know. You're everywhere. You know, you've been on TV. We figure if anybody's going to get it, it's going to be you.
No. I'm not in with the Kardashian clan. But maybe somebody will hear this show, though, and give me the invite. So who knows?
Yeah, you never know. You never know. So you'd be willing to go, though, if someone gave you the invite.
Yeah, I mean, I'm indifferent to them. I mean, people are obsessed with them. People love to hate them. I mean, they really don't, at the end of the day, they don't affect my life. So, but, yeah, I mean, it seems like it's going to be a pretty big deal. So I would definitely go if asked.
Okay, there you go. Nico, we know you weren't asked, but let's get back to the trade deadline stuff. Nico, you know, there's something that I don't understand, and maybe you could explain it for me. I don't understand. My dog certainly is questioning it. I don't understand the Houston Astros. They're going to trade Hunter Pence. They're thinking about trading Michael Bourne and Wandy Rodriguez. At this point, are they just a farm team? I don't understand. These are young players. They're not re-signing them. Some of them they got in trades, and it just seems like they don't have a plan. You know, and I know Ed Wade, and he's probably hamstrung as far as what they could spend for money, but it just doesn't seem like the organization has a plan.
They don't. Somebody's pulled the plug on this organization, and they said basically we're going to wipe it clean and we're going to start all over from the very bottom. Hunter Pence has developed from their farm system and developed into a superstar, all-star player, and they're just going to let him go. Same thing. They've got Michael Bourne. They got him, a young player from Philly in a nice little trade. Edway brought him. He's developed into a superstar player, amazing speed at the top of the order. Just going to let him go. You know, they're not in business to win the World Series right now, all right? They're not in business to play the game the way it's supposed to be played. They're in the business of trying to save money, trying to make money, and trying to do probably the blueprint of the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Let's just go with young players, and we'll make them stars, and then they'll let them go, and then we have to develop some more young players.
Lisa, what do you think about it? They only have 35 wins. They're 21.5 out, so clearly they're out. But how do you expect to retain any fans when you're trading all your best players?
You have 35 wins right now. I mean, you got to do, I guess, what's best for your bottom line at this point. I mean, the fans are already turned off as it is. I mean, what are you going to do?
I guess it's a tough situation. Now, if we also look at other tough situations out there, what about the Cubs, Lisa? I mean, they haven't won in over 100 years. And now they're dumping out at the trade deadline. They're next to last, 42 wins. Could you imagine being a Cubs fan, Lisa? That's my question to you.
No, but you can't really ask me that because I'm the most spoiled fan of the bunch. So, no, I can't imagine. I can't even imagine being a Mets fan, never let alone a Cubs fan. So.
Yeah, I think it's worse, clearly, to be a Cubs fan. Nico, what do you think about the Cubs? It's also hard to figure them out anymore. It almost seems like you need Mark Cuban to go in there and buy that team to make something happen because that's becoming an issue, too. They're always going to sell out, but now all of a sudden they're saving money, too.
Yeah, the word is they may even let Pena go. And,
wow.
You know, Yeah, they're I think they're in a, you know, and they're trying to clean their slate and get rid of Soriano. They're trying to get rid of some of their and dump their high salaries and start young again. They're probably in that same business model as the Astros. They've given Mike Quatty, which I have a lot of respect for. I played for him in the minor league. He's a great guy, very intense guy. He loves to win, has a passion to win. But you know what? I'm not sure if he has that personality that can translate to superstars and celebrities. He doesn't rub good with celebrities at all. He doesn't really cater to players. I wouldn't call him a player's manager. I don't think he's some guy that will sit back and laugh with you. He's so intense and so determined. Sometimes that turns celebrities off. I just don't think there's a click there. I don't think he's the right guy to lead that team.
Okay, and what do you think about the White Sox, Nico? Here's a team that we hear Carlos Quentin could be on the move. He could be actually be coming here to Philly. Yet Mark Burley is going to be a free agent after the year, and we hear he could be on the move. They're only a game under 500. They're somewhat in the race, but they've been treading water like this for the last couple of years and certainly can't seem to get out of their own way late in the season. What do you do with the Chicago White Sox?
You give them this 1 year. I think this is it. They got to make a rush. They got to keep their players. They can't let any of these players go. They're right in it. I mean, four games out, that's nothing. I mean, you know, at the beginning of the year, they were at a time, I think they were 12 games out. So they're making a run. They're getting better. Their pitching is getting
better. Do you think they're
going to
keep Burley?
Absolutely. I think he's their best pitcher that they got. They absolutely have to keep him. I mean, if they don't keep him, they may as well, like I said, go back five more years. They're right there at the World Series. If they lose someone like him, you might as well put yourself 5 years behind.
Fold the 10 up. Lisa, you have any thoughts on the White Sox? I know as a Yankee fan you don't face them that much. You may not think about them that much. What do you think about them?
You basically summed it up to me. They're a non-issue. I'm more concerned about, like I said, the Bostons and the Texases of the world. So.
Yeah, Texas is a scary team, Lisa. They score runs in buckets. They seem to have the, if not the best offense in baseball, one of them. How does Texas scare you also from a pitching perspective with their young pitchers, or is it more about the hitting and what your pitching might give up if they face them?
No, their pitching scares us too. Russ, we're old. The Yankees are an old team. I mean, save for Cano, Granderson is obviously having an MVP year. But, you know, A-Rod, Jeter, I'm nervous. I'm just nervous. I mean, now's the year. I mean, next year, now's the year to do it if they're going to do it again. If not,
I
don't see them going back for a long time.
I like hearing that Yankee fans are nervous, by the way. That's sort of music to my ears in a way. And now you actually have to sweat it out for a change.
Well, but, you know, we've had our ups and downs over since the dynasty years. This isn't the first time we're sweating it out, but it's just sadder now because the old guard is, you know, living up to the old name. So,
right.
It's just like a true transition period we're going through right now.
And, Nico, let's talk about a situation here about an American League player who I had a chance to see at an event earlier in the year when he was coming off a knee surgery, and that's one Joe Mauer. He's a guy who was an all-star, got a big contract, hurt his knee, has now come back, and in 166 at-bats, he only has one homer and 18 RBIs, hitting .289. It seems like they're going to move him out of the catcher spot at some point, but now it also seems like fans are booing him. What's going on with Joe Mauer?
You know, first thing I would do is check his eyes and his vision. I mean, sometimes there's a time in the player's career where their vision is going off. And, you know, he has such dynamic vision and such dynamic numbers before this year. It's got to be something like that. I mean, it's almost a complete opposite of the Joe Mauer that we're used to. I mean, I don't recognize this guy right here.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
With the eye.
He's literally had one homer for the month of July and 11 RBIs in the month of July. Lisa, you have any thoughts on Joe Mauer? He probably used to worry you when you played against him. Now he may not even be an afterthought.
He's so talented, though.
He is, but, like, what's up with his – do you think they should move him out of catcher? Do you think at this point that's what did his knee damage and put him in a different position because they've got him signed to a long-term deal?
Maybe he's hiding an injury. I mean, he's just so talented, and he's young. He's my age. He's 27. So.
Well, that's young, really? Oh, no. Go ahead. You're right. Yeah, he's young.
Listen,
I'm going to my 30-year high school reunion tomorrow. So, yes, you are young.
I think Mara will be fine.
All right. Well, it's just an interesting story. We'll keep an eye on it. Lisa, I think if Yankees are going to get anybody, I will tell you I think they're going to get Mark Burley. And I think maybe they're going to end up having to get him on waivers when at the last minute the White Sox realize they're out of it and want to just save on his contract. So if I were you, I'd be looking for that name. But do you hear any other names on New York radio today for the Yankees? Anything attached to him at all for those fans out there?
No.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Just crickets.
Yeah.
Well, that's – Nico, what do you think? That's amazing. This is like the first time – usually the Yankees' name is in there for everybody on this day, on trade deadline day.
Yeah, they've got nothing to move. Nobody wants A.J. Burnett. I mean, what were they going to trade? I mean, nobody wants some of their players. I mean, some of the contracts. I mean, their payroll's over $200 million. I mean, who are you going to bring in?
It's tough.
They're probably waiting until they're going to probably sign Prince Fielder in the offseason or Pujols or make a run. Maybe that's their push. They're going to go get some free agents.
Right. So now they're just going to try and ride it out and see what they can do. Guys, it's an interesting time of the year. We love the trade deadline part. I'm sure the second half of the season will suck for me as a Met fan because it's only going to get worse. I'm sure another player or two will get moved. Not Reyes, though, thankfully, but some other guys will get moved before the year is out. That's going to end this edition of the game, and we'll catch everybody next time.
Hey, thanks Russ. I want to do a shout-out to Shore Mortgage. Man, they've been so helpful with promoting the MLPO. Bankers are online waiting to save money for our members. Call in 248-833-0462.
You got it. Take care, everybody.